Welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Souls on Fire. I don't know about you, but it felt like the sun was out today and moderately warm, relatively speaking. And I feel that the worst is behind us. The best is yet to come. For all our female listeners out there today, I want to extend a happy International Women's Day today. And folks, I have an unbelievable guest along those same lines, Dr. Jess Pagana. I've known her for over 20 years. She has had a huge influence over my faith, on my faith journey. She's an amazing woman, and we're going to have a great hour. We got a lot to cover here in the hour. So, Dr. Jess, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome.
Appreciate it.
Awesome. Well, as we begin every program, let's start with a quick prayer here. So, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. Heavenly Father, as Dr. Jess and I spend the next hour in faith and fellowship, we ask that our thoughts be your thoughts, our words be your words, and when we leave here tonight, that our deeds be your deeds. In your name we pray. Amen. Tonight's show is sponsored by the Knights of Columbus, Peter Morsico. We appreciate all your support, your unwavering support. You're always there for us, and we really appreciate that. Dr. Jess Pagana. She's had, like I said already, she's had a tremendous influence on my faith journey. I'm able to see her and her beautiful family a couple times a year. They live out in Sellings Grove, but we have a number of mutual friends. And invariably, every single time we get together, the topic of faith and spirituality comes up. She was the one really who introduced me to Richard Rohr and the contemplative prayer guru with his book Falling Upward. That was probably about 7 or 8 years ago. And Margaret Mell, who's really kind of one of my spiritual mentors. Both Dr. Jess and Margaret Mell have been really influential in my contemplative prayer devotion, which has really transformed my faith in the last couple years. But we'll talk about, that's definitely one of the topics I want to get into with Dr. Jess. Dr. Jess is a Sellings Grove area native. She did her undergraduate work at Villanova University. She went to medical school at Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine, also known as PCOM. She graduated in 1998. She then went into business with her father in family practice back in Sellings Grove. She's, you know, an extraordinary minister at St. Pius. She's a volunteer physician for a community clinic, which serves the uninsured, poor working class people in the Sunbury community. She's a United Way board member. She is an amazing woman of faith and an amazing, just amazing woman of character and principle. She has a beautiful family. Her husband, Craig, is also a great dear friend of mine. And she has three beautiful children, Dylan, Avery, and McAllister. So, Jess, welcome to the show. And I appreciate you taking the time to be with us here today.
I'm thrilled to be here. And you're too kind. Thank you, Jess.
Awesome. You know, I figured the topic, the topic for tonight's show is science and religion. You know, and my question is, can it be both and, or does it have to be either or? But before we get into the nuts and bolts of that, Jess, just tell us a little bit about your background and your upbringing out in Sudbury.
Sure. So, you know, I grew up at Cradle Catholic and was very blessed to have two parents that are give such unconditional love, both very faithful people. My father, born Catholic. My mother was born Methodist and then converted through the RCI program when I was young, I was in grade school. So religion for and Catholicism for my family is really, really important. My parents, we went to Mass every week, but they also participated in a lot of Bible study, service projects. Both my parents have given a lot of their time, their treasures to our family, but then our community. And so I kind of grew up in that environment. Got a chance to know personally many of our priests, and got as a physician, gotten to take care of a lot of priests as well, and learned a lot from them, and just different spiritual leaders in the community. I met my husband while I was in medical school, and he grew up Lutheran, but after we were engaged, he converted through the RCI program Catholicism, and he just that was neat going through that process again. I didn't go to Catholic school, so it was really, I went to Sunday school, but it really kind of fueled us both, to lit us on fire.
That's awesome. Always admired, and Maureen, my beautiful wife, is a convert also, and I've always had a ton of respect for converts, because it's some of us cradle Catholics, we didn't know what we didn't know, right? So we kind of just came in, mm-hmm. and we were gifted with a faith early on and a foundation. But, for people to make that conscious decision later in life, and, more often than not, they're better Catholics than a lot of us cradle Catholics. But I've always had a ton of admiration. That's a great story about your mom and her conversion. Who have been, outside of your parents, Jess, who have been some of your bigger spiritual mentors in your life?
Well, I'll tell you a story. One of our priests in the area, I just moved back to the area. I'd been out of the area for about 15 years, but I knew him growing up. I went to Mass. He was one of our local priests. And he was on my service in the hospital at the time, and I had to let him know he had a terminal cancer. He had to undergo a really, really tough surgery. And, I was 27 at the time, and I kept saying, I told him the news, and I have to ask him to pray, but I've never asked a priest to pray before, and so I said, would you like to pray? And Father said, come sit down, and I sat on his bed, we held hands, and Son of God, Joe, he prayed for everybody but himself. He prayed for me. He prayed for the doctors, the nurses taking care of him. And he prayed, what really, really struck home for me was for God's will to be done. Not to save him, not to cure this cancer, not to make it through the surgery tomorrow morning. That was really pretty powerful. I got a chance, one of our local priests, my dad and mom, sponsored 18 of our family members to go to Medjugorje with our local priest.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
And that was just really, talk about a sense of peace. At 16, that's where it just kind of hit me that this is what we're here for. We're here for God's love, to feel the Holy Spirit, and to do service for others.
That's amazing. That's awesome. We've talked about this before, but, a lot of times when the subject of religion comes up, one of the things people want to know is, if you're religious or are you spiritual? And for some people, it might be under one umbrella. If I were asking you, what is your perspective in terms of, someone who's religious as opposed to someone who's spiritual?
Right. So, I feel very blessed to be part of the Catholic religion. The Catholic religion is with the sacraments. It's a sacramental religion. And, those sacraments are there, to give us grace. You read through the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. What happened to Jesus then happened to, what happened in the Old Testament happened to Jesus and then happened to church. And, that's the story, and that's the greatest book ever written. The question is, how do we get in the story? And the way we get in the story is through those sacraments. Receiving the Eucharist. It's go into confession. And that's what it's all about, experiences that grace that God has, that Holy Spirit that's within you, and experiencing God's love.
That's the truth. You know, just leading into my next question, you know, I think one of the, for me, what the beauty of Catholicism, unlike a lot of, you know, Judeo-Christian religions, there's so many modes of worship for us, right? You mentioned the sacraments and confession. Then you have things like, you know, saintly intercession, right? Then you have the rosary and adoration, novena, stations of the cross. Are there any of those in addition to the mass and the sacraments? Are there any that work for you, or that you find like are instrumental in your faith journey?
Right. So when I first came to town, our church decided to do perpetual adoration. And I was like, there's no way I can do that. You know, I'm on call. I've got young kids. There's just no way. And the priest pulled me aside and said, you know, Jess, we need people to fill this slot. And I'll put you in with somebody else. So if you get called out, you know, but I'm telling you, it's going to change your life. And it really has. That the learning to sit still and listen, the contemplative prayer that Richard Rohr talks about. But Joe, I got to be honest with you. I do it kicking and screaming every week or every other week.
No doubt.
Does one week, I do the other week. One of us is home with kids. But I do it kicking and screaming because I don't want to get out of my yoga pants.
Sure.
I don't want to leave the house.
Sure.
At 9 and do a 9 to 10 p.m. on a you know, Thursday night. I just still got work to do. I got kids stuff to do. And but I really, really need that. My weeks that I do the adoration, they just go so much better than the weeks that I don't. You know, it's wonderful. I do the rosary a couple times a week. I really enjoy, you know, when I'm working out, to do the rosary. My dad and I actually share a Kindle, so
nice.
Any kind of Richard Rohr book, he gets it before I even know that it's out.
That's awesome.
And we get a chance to just kind of talk about that and what you're reading, what are you thinking about. I think it's really the quiet time, the time out of the crazy busy world, time out of work, time out of everything that you're available all the time, always, and you need to back down. You know, the Richard Rohr talks about first half of life and second half of life, and I'll be 50 this year, so I guess I'm on that second half of life. But the last decade, I've really been working on you know, developing that one-on-one relationship and trying to get out of that ego and being more, living more for the Lord.
It's funny, you and I were talking yesterday briefly, and you were talking about you being with the kids and the two ears and the one mouth. Talk about that.
Yes.
Let enlighten the audience with that one right there.
Yeah. So we were at Mass, and our homilist said, our priest said, my spiritual director said to me, hey, there's a reason God gave you two ears and one mouth. You should spend twice the time listening and half the time speaking, which I thought was very apropos for me.
It's, you know, what's, I was saying this to a guest a couple weeks ago. For me, probably the first 40 years of my faith, it was all resuscitation, right? You know, you were just, you know, you had, you know, the whether it was the rosary or the, you know, the responses at Mass. And, you know, really, I mean this when I say this, like Richard Rohr, and that was probably about 10 years ago when you had given me the book, Falling Upward, you know, it was really, and another friend of mine, Margaret Mell, who's kind of a spiritual mentor for me, like it took me a long time to harness that and just be comfortable in the silence, you know, and I know for me, one of the things I try and do, like when I wake up, you know, I just have 10 to 15 minutes of just silent prayer and just kind of like try and open my heart to God and what he wants me to do for the day and kind of maybe release the negative energy and just fill my heart with his spirit. And I know when I do that, it's just a whole different day for me. I don't feel frazzled. I don't feel like I'm playing catch up for the whole day. And it really has transformed my faith. But so much, you know, as you know, it's impossible to talk and to listen at the same time, you know, and
right.
sometimes,
right.
you know, it's more important to hear God as part of your worship and your faith journey. Obviously, we're hopefully coming out of this pandemic, as I said, at the beginning of the show. It just feels like, I don't know, spring's around the corner. We're going to have great weather this week. We have a couple vaccines out. But how has I know you and your husband take your legacy of what you're providing for your kids in terms of that same beautiful foundation that your parents provided you, years ago. Like, it's such a big part of your mission right now as a family. How has the pandemic impacted your family in terms of your spiritual life?
Yeah, it's affected everybody, differently. And it's, for me personally and my family, it slowed us down. We were running here and there to this, travel team and that travel team. And all of a sudden that was, gone. At the time of the pandemic, I had a senior in high school, a sophomore in high school, and then I had a sixth grader, boy, girl, boy. And all were the two words, varsity sports, three varsity sports, running everywhere. And my little guy was, just trying to catch up. So, but anyway, he, for me, work really ramped up. And so, that work-life, I would say imbalance, because it's never balanced,
sure.
Right? We try to balance it. But, I think for me, on my family side, I enjoyed the family dinners. I enjoyed Mass at home, believe it or not, because we got a rosary afterwards. We got a chance to talk about the homily. One of the things my father does for all of us, all 13 grandchildren, is he gives us a text based on the homily, this quick short for us to talk about. And, we're able to do that, with the pandemic. Minus the tragedy and sadness I saw with families, and the loss with families and the difficulties on my work side, families were dying. Family members are dying without their family around them.
Sure.
My dad lost his sister to COVID and he couldn't fly up because they didn't have a vaccine. He couldn't be together. We couldn't be with her when she was dying. And that's really hard stuff. It's really hit people. It's been rough for a lot of people.
No doubt.
I have seen such tremendous spiritual growth. In my office, I go across that bridge. I go across the Susquehanna River every morning, and I say, God, your will be done. Please, transform me today. Please let me do your will today. And, it's easy being a doctor. It's a profession of, service, and I get a thank you every day. But I'll tell you what, the connections I've made with families that have lost loved ones or that are going through difficult times, I truly feel the Holy Spirit is here in this office, is here in my heart, and is here with my patients.
That's awesome. My next question, I was going to just lead into, what are some of the ways, and you touched on a little bit, but what are some of the ways that you're able to weave your own spiritual life into the place of work? As a doctor.
Right. So, my dad has prayed with patients always and I do the same. And, I did hospital medicine for 10 years. So, there are a lot of times that, we were, people dying on our, on our service and,
sure.
Dealing with family members. And I'll tell you what, you talk to somebody dying and know they're dying. That's really powerful. The things that happen, those aren't coincidence. I can talk on and on and on. It just, when you're dealing with hospice patients, when you're dealing with family members, my dad was in practice for 30 years. I joined him. We were in practice for 15 years together. In the last 3 years, he's been retired. But, I'm seeing 3, 4, 5 generation families here. And, I knew their grandparents, their great grandparents, and now I'm taking care of the babies. I think for me, there's a picture of Jesus touching the doctor's shoulder, and Joe, I can't tell you how many times it just things don't make sense, but I just felt a nudge to say, get this test or check this out or check.
Wow, that's cool.
And you know, he saved me. And somebody may look at me and think I'm crazy for saying that, but I got to tell you, you know, it's not what I do. It's not what my dad did. It's what Jesus does through us. And it's, you know, that's what, oh, look what I did. Look what I've accomplished. No, that's not what it's about. It's really about, you know, the Lord. You do everything you do well is given to you by the Lord. And when you start to see things and have perspective that way, it really kind of changes the way you do medicine. It changes the way you interact with patients, but it also changes the way, you know, we parent. You know, I love Matthew Kelly does, you know, the best Lent ever. And I think that's a great, great little quick thing. I made God laugh with that book.
Yeah.
And there's a great thing in that book to say how to pray. And it gives you, I think it's six things, I can't remember, on how to pray. And, you know, I photocopied, my son's in California at school right now. And my other two are still at home. And I photocopied it. I sent a copy out to him. And I said, let's try and do this for 30 days. Let's you know, see how it changes. And, you know, I'm always trying to do just a little something like that with the kids. My youngest is, he's going to be confirmed next spring. So we're going through some, you know, some great talks with him. And it, you know, it just, if you wake up every morning and you ask for God's help and you take the time with him, like you said, Joe, it's just so much easier, whether it be work, whether it be relationships at home, whether it be relationships outside of home, whether it be with athletics, it just things work a lot better.
That's the truth. I got to ask you this. I mean, I think not to say that you're an anomaly, because you know, you're a doctor that has an incredibly strong, inspiring faith. But do you how do I want to say this? Do you find much in your among your peers, let's say, do you find much brushback with your faith, or do you just, is it so compartmentalized that you don't really, like when you, whether you're going to conferences or you're mm-hmm. meeting with other doctors, your peers, you know, very obviously brilliant people. Does the topic of God or faith come up, or is that just something you kind of keep at the back burner?
No, it comes up quite a bit. And I got to tell you, I partnered with Valley Practice Center, which is a large physician-owned group, about 2 years ago. And, you know, at the end, I shook hands. We made the deal. And he said, now, Jess, and he happened to be in that man as you with my husband. He says, now, Jess, now you get to spend more time with your family. Let us deal with all the business stuff. You know, now you get to spend more time with your family. And, you know, I got to tell you there, I get notes from our pulmonologist who's now working at the free clinic, retired, saying, sat down and prayed with the patient.
That's awesome.
The person that goes to adoration, the neonatologist or the perinatologist that goes the hour before me, has 8 children, and he is, I can't get my kids to go to adoration, let me tell you, but he always has two or three kids in there, and he's, you know, he's a perinatologist. So, you know, I don't push my religion on anyone. You know, God says, you know, you open the door, and it's not me converting anybody, but it's the Holy Spirit converting people. And it's our job, I think, to show them the good news inside our heart, the love in our heart, and let the Holy Spirit do the work. You know, so I guess I've been doing this for, you know, I graduated in 98 from medical school, and I think I've had one person say, please don't pray for me, you know, and...
Just one.
You know, just
That's
one.
That's amazing.
Just one. And, you know, I've had some agnostics and atheists saying, you know, say, well, thank you for your prayers, I you know, and I still pray for them. You know, I'm not going to shove it down their throat, but, you know, I think it's... Patients that are sick you know, sick with fatal diseases, they do better when they know they're prayed for.
No doubt.
That's documented. So, You know, I think I don't have a problem with, I've never had a problem, you know, with my spirituality or my religion with work. You know, a lot of things come up, you know, regarding Catholic teaching and people wanting to do something different than the Catholic teaching. And I think, you know, I have to give the patient all the different options, and then it's their choice. So I'm not going to say, you know, no, you can't have this or no, you can't do this. But, you know, I got to tell you, Joe, there are a couple, you know, people that were ready for abortions that, you know, I sat down and talked to them and said, listen, there are two victims here. There are two victims if you choose to go through with this abortion. And you know, that's pretty powerful stuff.
Oh, my gosh,
you know?
Man, absolutely.
So, you know, I want to say that, you know, I am who I am, and people come to see me because of who I am. And I haven't had much pushback regarding my spirituality.
That's amazing. You're doing God's work, Jess, no doubt. So let's talk about the science and the spirituality for a second. I mean, your background, right? Most medicine is based on, like math is based on some predictability and provability, whether it's formulas or equations and stuff like that. And, you know, although I would say that, you know, the truth of the Bible is as true as any medicine, but, you know, to the naked eye, you know, it can be viewed separately in terms of, like, you know, there's not, you know, faith is that which we, you know, we believe in what we can't see, or necessarily prove. You know, how do you reconcile that as a doctor, you know, of medicine, you know, in terms of, like, just the provability of your faith, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, you know, we talked about this a little last night. You know, I don't really struggle with the provability of it. It just, you know, I've done a Bible study. I've done enough, research on that to say, no way can all of this just happen without a divine being.
Right?
Like, it just, you can't, whether it be whatever it is you choose on this earth, it just doesn't have, you can't have everything line up this easy to make the world the way it is.
Amen.
Now. I just, you know, there's got to be something more. And, you know, I was born into this religion and this faith, so maybe I'm ignorant. You know, maybe I haven't looked, done enough research, but it doesn't make sense to me to not be, you know, the great I am. There's God. We're all here because we're in the likeness and image of God, and that goes for me. That goes for, you know, the homeless guy on the street. We're all the same. I believe in God's, you know, view. We're all beggars looking for something, and when you think there's something more than that, that's your ego, and you're having trouble with that. So, you know, who am I to say, you know, this faith isn't right? And you know, I'm 49 now, and you know, I've had enough, you know, tragedy and enough you know, bumps in the road to say, you know, without my faith, I don't know how I'd get through that.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
I guess that I don't bring my scientific mind to the to you know, my faith, because you can't. It's what we joke around always saying, it's a mystery. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit, it's a mystery. You know, your faith, it's a mystery, and it's not for me to understand now. I think, you know, when I go to heaven, I will understand, God willing, you know. What about you? How do you wrestle with that?
I say, for me, and I want to talk about the gift of faith, but I'm going to come back to that in a second, because I think we all start, like, you and I are blessed to start it, you know, much further along the line, right? And, you know, why were we blessed enough to be born into that, where the foundation was, not that it was implicitly accepted, like, but because you question, especially in your teen years, you know, you challenge the faith and authority and all that. But like, I want to come back to that in a second. But two of my favorite, phrases for, for God, the uncaused cause, right? Like something, to your
right.
point, something had to cause the whole thing, right? And then the other mm-hmm. one, the unmoved mover, and I, yeah. I feel like to some extent, like people, I've heard some recourse people like, oh, as we find all these, as cosmology has taken a greater place in the spirituality, the world of spirituality, like, even more reason, like that to say that, like, it's the work of God. God's got his footprint on all this, right? It's, if,
right.
whether it's galaxy upon galaxy upon galaxy, and this isn't that, I'm not educated enough to talk about that, but if there are in fact, like, millions of galaxies, like, even more reason that, like, someone had to start the whole thing, right? And God had,
right.
like, there had to be something behind, because it matter just doesn't, it doesn't form on its own, it's just, but that's, we'll come back to that in a minute. But I do want to talk about the gift of faith, right? So, if God wills all people to be saved, okay, which we believe he does, okay, but why are you and I and many people in our friend group, our spouses and this, and a lot of the people that we have in common, like, why are we able to handle the adversity and the tragedy when we can rely on our foundation and all that's been cultivated, and other people don't have that, as they didn't benefit from that foundation. Jess, hold on for a second. I don't want to rush through
sure.
this. We're going to take a quick break here, folks. We're going to be back in about 90 seconds with Dr. Jess Pagana. And there's a ton we have to get through, and you've been awesome, Jess. So hang tight for about 90 seconds, and we'll be right back after that.
Hi, this is Maria Richardson. I've been working in church ministry for many years, and I want to take this opportunity to thank God for Kathleen McCarthy. Kathleen is an amazing woman of God who has been blessed with many gifts and talents for his service. She is so connected to Jesus, and his Holy Spirit speaks through her in so many ways, through her words, her actions, her prayers, and her wisdom. Kathleen has been an inspiration and a mentor to me personally for so long, and it is a great joy to know that In His Sign Radio has allowed her to become a blessing to so many people. She is a gift that must be shared, and I, for one, am very grateful. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air, no doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
My name is Peter Marsico. My agency from the Knights of Columbus is sponsoring this hour. Like the Knights of Columbus, in listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, guests and callers, the love of Christ is being spread to so many people. More than ever, the world needs Catholic radio stations like this. Being a member of the Knights of Columbus, the largest Catholic fraternal organization in the world, Charity is our most important principle. What better way to give so that so many people can hear the word of Christ? To learn more about the Knights of Columbus, visit KOFC.org. That's short for Knights of Columbus. You can also contact me, Peter.Marsico, M-A-R-S-I-C-O, at KOFC.org, or by phone, 609-927-5848. Take care and God bless.
Welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer, along with Dr. Jess Pagana. Before I get back with Jess, I just want to remind everybody about our upcoming main fundraiser of the year, a golf outing that takes place Monday, April 26th at Old York Road Country Club in Springhouse, Pennsylvania. Every dollar earned goes back into the station. Again, nobody's making any money with this evangelism. No radio host or anybody. It's all for God's work that we're doing. So, if you're interested in golfing, you'd like to sponsor the tournament or a tee, or you have any auctions for the silent, any items for the silent auction, you just want to join us for dinner of a night of faith and fellowship, please call us at 610-527-2906. But it promises it's always a great time, and it promises to be a great event. Dr. Jess Pagana, I didn't want to rush through this question. So we're talking about the gift of faith, okay, and how some of us are honestly are just gifted with it, and some of us aren't. And that's always been something I've wrestled with, Jess, because I know for me personally, my faith has gotten me through the darkest times of my entire life. You know, and I tell my kids, you know, weekly, I tell them, I say, hey, I fail you 10 times a day, you know, and I'll fail you 50 times a week. And I fail mom all the time. Like, but it, you know, you're God never fails. He never fails. And he doesn't always give me what I want, but he always gives me what I need, you know? And, and I feel like that's, A, I don't deserve it, number one, but B, I always feel
well,
like...
Well, none of us do, right?
No, but I
none
feel...
None of us deserve it, yeah.
We don't. We don't, definitely don't deserve it from a grace standpoint, but like, why was I born into that? You know, you look at some of the, and you see it, gosh, in family medicine, you see the entire spectrum of you know, environments and situations where people are coming to your office, you know, for emotional healing. You know, they may present with some type of physical ailment, but there's the woundedness of some of the people that you see has got to be like, you could write 10 books on it. But what, like, why? I don't know. I just feel like I wrestle with that. I feel like I was gifted with this, and then it's unsettling that, you know, not everyone has been gifted with that. Not everyone has had the influences in my life that I've been blessed to have that I don't deserve. Right. The people that come into our lives at different points in time that have planted seeds and pruned back the bushes and nurtured my faith and challenged me to do better and do more. Like, none of it's a coincidence. I'm not saying that, but I feel like, man, why was I blessed with this? And then we both know people that may not be that strong in the process, but, you know, there by the grace of God go I. Like, why, how does that happen? Like, I just feel like, you know, I often, the giftedness of faith has always been something that's, that I've struggled with. What are your thoughts?
You know, that's something I wrestle with too. God says, you know, the more you know, the more responsibility you're going to have. So, you know, it's our job to spread that news, that good news. And you know, when I you can't explain why some people really, you know, I think it's opportunity, first of all. You know, I think I was born to two loving parents. I felt unconditional love from my parents, and then they exposed me to Catholicism and that unconditional love and my faith, you know. So you got to start that way. But there are, you know, many people I sit with Bible study that we pray for their children because they've left the church. And, you know, I think... I just think this world is such that we need to say no to a lot of things, to be able to take that time, to go to Mass and take that time to talk about your faith or talk about the Bishop Barron homily this week or whatnot. It's without getting into like a competing and comparing kind of thing, you know, you're going to think I'm crazy, but you know, it's another mystery. I don't know why. And I don't think we'll know why,
sure.
You know, some people struggle more with their faith than not, you know, we all think, well, if we have faith and our life is going to go well, that's not really the case. As you mentioned, you know, he gives you what you need, not what you want. Right. You know, so, you know, Mother Teresa, I mean, she was riding high with God's love, you know, and closeness to Jesus. But she talks about the dark night.
Absolutely.
And she struggled from tremendous depression.
For a long time.
In the midst of all the service she was doing. You know, I think it's easier to see that faith when you're in a service-oriented job or you're doing, you know, you're learning more and more about your religion and apologetics and understanding why we believe what we believe and why we defend our faith. That's a tough one, Joe. I don't think I have an answer for that. But, you know, I think that love is, you know, when I see people with really struggling or with trauma and whatnot, people can get through things with that love and know that God's love is with them. But you got to have somebody here on this earth that loves you and supports you unconditionally.
Absolutely. No doubt.
You know, what are your thoughts?
No, I agree with that. You know what? And again, to your point, like, even if we can't grasp it, like, at least assume the responsibility that comes with to whom much is granted, much is expected, right? So it's like, okay, mm-hmm. So the more I have, the more I'm able to discern and grow. And I don't think, I feel so blessed because my faith, if I look at the timeline of my faith on earth here, 53 years, I think in the last 4 years, my faith has really kind of probably doubled and tripled in terms of like, I'm researching more about the early history of the church, and I'm saying the rosary daily, and I'm trying to because I feel like I need it. You know what I mean? I feel this is like there's this longing to, like, because I can't get out of my own way if I'm not acting upon my faith, you know, daily. You know, I feel like, you know, just trying to be a better husband and a better father. But I think at the end of the day, even if we don't, or, you know, we may not understand that, but I do know that, like, hey, man, I got to be more accountable. Like, and I got to, mm-hmm. you know, when I see wrong being done, I got to speak up, and I got to promote, you know, certain, you know, behaviors and spiritual support doctrine. And I got, you know, I think one of my favorite lines, you were speaking to Mother Teresa, she says, well, you want to change the world, go home and love your family, right? You know, it's like, you're just
absolutely.
Like what you can do with your own kids. And I wanted to talk about that for a second, because, you know, a couple things. I think when you know, I'm a little older than you, but when we were growing up, the village was raising all of us, right? So you had, you know, you had the foundation established by your parents, but you had teachers, and you had priests, and you had, you know, other faith-filled adults in your life that were kind of like fostering that same environment, expectation, profession of faith and willfully, you know, joyfully accepting Christ into your life. But I think now it's so sterile, right? For our kids, it's so sterile. You can't, it's almost like you have to be, you know, a closet. You have to be a closet disciple. You know, you have to, you got to be careful at work. You know, I work at a Catholic high school, and there's maybe interactions that I have that I may not, you know, I just feel like guarded with what I'm going to say or do. And, you know, and I think for kids, you know, it's daunting. I think the task, you know, for us as parents of young people, because if it's not you, they may not get it. Now, it sounds like where you guys are and your activity in the church, and there's a lot of opportunities for your kids. But, you know, what are some of the ways you ask your kids to engage in their faith outside of your home?
So, you know, my son's in at Cal Poly right now. And I said, listen, in order for your dad and I to write this, you know, this sign this check, you know.
Nobody can blackmail like the Irish. I mean, like the Catholics,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. I love it. I love it. I said, you will go to Mass once a week, and you will FaceTime your mother so I can see your dimples once a week. And
do you make them get the bulletin at Mass just to prove it?
Yeah, or what's it? No bulletin, although we do talk about the homily, which is kind of cool. So
nice.
We usually do on some of the FaceTime. But, you know, it's interesting. COVID's been an interesting year. You know, definitely the village helped raise my kids. So, you know, I worked, my husband worked, and we had some great babysitters. We had some great community members, great friends. My parents, I'll tell you what, they always got the right of first refusal. Do you want them? I'm always going to ask you because I hate to not offer and you want them. And they very rarely said no, you know. So
sure.
They helped raise my kids. And, you know, I think also knowing that you're going to make mistakes. I had people tell my kids, listen, you're going to screw up. And nowadays, heaven forbid you screw up and it gets videotaped, you know.
No,
and
no.
Then you're like shamed and done forever. You know, I think it's important to teach your kids how to make a stand, you know, and how to say, you know, no, I'm not participating in this, you know, ridiculous, you know, online social media crap. Not that my kids do social media, but I'm not partaking in any of this you see it come through, but I'm not getting stuck in that stuff, because that stuff's not real, you know. And we this whole, now this social media thing with these kids, this is like a false life.
It's a house of cards. It's a total house of cards.
With likes and, you know, being on vacation. But you know what? Stop taking pictures of vacation and putting it on Facebook, because, you know what? Not everybody can be on vacation all the time.
No,
you know, it just, you don't understand. And, you know, not everybody can be with everybody all the time. So if you're with a bunch of friends, you don't need to advertise that to everybody else, you know. It's just, it's definitely, I think, a more difficult time because of that. But I'll tell you what, they had phenomenal teachers in their public school. They went to Catholic school until our Catholic school closed. The funny story is my youngest never went to Catholic school. So, you know, he's 13 and he acts 13 sometimes. And, you know, the older kids are older. And they say, yeah, he acts that way because, he never learned any manners. He didn't go to Catholic school, you know. So.
That's too funny. You were talking about, you know, your Dylan and my Dylan are the same age, right?
Yeah.
They go off to college.
And, yes, yeah.
And, you know, it's funny because and I'm the same way. Like, I'm, you know, you kind of wag the finger and make sure you get to church. And in the last probably 6 months, I've kind of softened my stance. I certainly want them to go to church, but I feel like I look at my upbringing, like, you know, and I feel like sometimes, you know, it's a fine line, right? Between we're obligated based on, you know, doctrine, right? You know, church doctrine, but I don't want it to be a chore and a, like a baton death march for, like, you know, for kids to go to Mass. You know, I want them to somewhere between, like, you know, how, and it's never what we say, it's how we say it too. But I don't want to,
right.
You know, sometimes it'll be, you know, I know when my oldest Liam was at college, I would text him, you know, usually by 8:30 on Saturday night, you know, hey,
yeah.
You know, make sure you get to Mass tomorrow, make sure you get to Mass
yeah,
tomorrow. And then, you know, foolishly enough, there were times when I would, you know, I would follow up, you know, Sunday afternoon, hey, did you get to Mass, you know, and then I just, you know, along the way, I've learned, it's not a marathon, it's not a sprint, it's a marathon, right? And I want you want there to be the relational component there. And I don't want there to be this like chore of like, oh gosh, I got to get to Mass. And, you know, I want there to be like this, you know, this juice that you get and, you know, that comes with experience, the sacrament of, you know, the bread and the water being turned into the body of blood and what, how unique that is to all faith, right? Because we're the only one that gives you that opportunity to witness that, you know, every other Christian faith it's not authentic. It's not the real body and blood of Christ the way we believe it is as Catholics, you know?
Yep. And, you know, I agree with you. I don't think you can strong arm them. And they get to be a certain age and you got to let them go. And, you know, I was just listening to Clarence Thomas's speech this morning on, it was a 2018 graduation.
Christendom College, is that what it was?
Yeah, I'm not sure which college it was because I got it towards the end, but it was unapologetic.
Oh, God, listen, thank you for mentioning it. That is, folks, if you get a chance, it's Christendom College. It's a small liberal arts school in Virginia. You know, and Clarence Thomas, best book I ever read was my grandfather's son by Clarence Thomas. Black Catholic, raised in the South, goes into the priesthood at College of Holy Cross, and then leaves the priesthood. Obviously, goes to Yale Law School, graduates, second in his class. Brilliant man. But he gives this. He leaves the faith, as you alluded to about the Christendom commencement speech, and but continue. I don't want to steal the thunder. So talk about that.
No. But I'm excited. You know what I'm talking about. So he left the page. I think he said for 25 years.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't read his autobiography. I will now. But I think we're all on our own journey, and all our, our relationship with Christ and through the church and all of that is individual. And you can't, with your children, you can't force that once they're old. I mean, when they're in your house,
sure.
Yeah, we go to mass. That's what we do, that I have no problem with. But and yeah, you got to go to Sunday school, and yeah, you got to serve and do whatever service we're doing that week or that month or whatnot. But when you get them involved with service, and that really gets the light bulb going, because I think you and I both know the more you serve somebody, the more you get back.
100%.
And more, you're giving something away, but it's such a great feeling. And that's not why you do it, but it's pretty powerful that the Holy Spirit working in you to say, I'm going to do this for the Lord, and I'm going to do this for somebody else, and just how wonderful that is. But, I think you just have to lead by example. And you know what, Joe, I screw up every day. My kids know I screw up with them. Sometimes I can't just get it all together with work, with my mind, with what I want and with my religion and with my home life. But they know I'm trying my best every day. And, I think I'm teaching more the more that I screw up and that I can
you're staying the course.
And that I will do whatever I can to make it better. I think that's what we need to be leading by example of faithful people that are not perfect, are making mistakes because we're all sinners. We need to teach them how to deal with adversity.
Amen.
When you have something happen or you screw up, it's really how you deal with that screw up. And you hope that happens when they're in your house. You hope it's not fun. It's not fun to sit in the state policeman's, barracks and whatnot, explain what, happened. But you know what? The way you deal with that and the way you deal with having, being accountable and saying, this is what happened. Okay, you made a mistake. How are we going to deal with that? And how are we going to make this right?
Teachable moment.
Hopefully
right?
Make this
yeah.
right. And that develops your character. And I think the more we do that in our house, I think that when they go off, and I hope and pray they go off, they continue to live faithful lives. And I gave them the foundation. They know it works in my life. They probably think I talk about it too much. I don't know. I haven't asked Dylan or Avery.
Never too much.
It's too much. But it's part of my everyday life. It's part of Craig's everyday life. They know if we're in that certain chair, even when they were little, they don't come and bug us because we got a Bible in our hand or we're doing our contemplative stuff. And they can come up and give a kiss, but give me 10 minutes and I'm all yours. I think, it's hard when people leave the faith, and we unfortunately are seeing people leave the faith you get that confirmation and they've just not coming back.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know why that is. Is it the worldly, you know, is it the devil? Is it that, you know, I'm not sure why that is, but I mean, that's our fight. That's our fight. Amen. To get our, cause that's our future. And you want faithful people leading us, you know, as you know, we give up the reins, you know?
No doubt. I think, you know, to me, getting back to the browbeating of Catholicism, right? You don't want it to be, mm-hmm. You don't want it to be, obligatory, but you know, like any relationship, right? There's times when I feel like I'm dialed into my faith and I'm like, God is so close to me. I can, you know, literally touch him. And then there's times when I'm wandering in the desert, like just lost. But I think the notion mm-hmm. of like staying the course and, you know, and just kind of continuing the routines and the practices of faith, it's like any relationship, whether you're married, you have mm-hmm. a partner, you're a parent or a son or a daughter, like there's ebb and flow with all relationships, right? And you know, right. your relationship with Christ every day, although it's a gift and you're grateful for it, it's not like you're going to be so, like, you know, every day is not a praise the Lord, I'm coming out of my seat giving thanks, just because we get sucked into the muck of life and some of the adversity we face, but we still stay the course. We battle through. We, you know, we keep grinding out and never waver with our commitment to Christ. The other thing you said too, and I think this has really helped me in the last 2 to 3 years. Get, you know, when I'm in a rut or I'm emotionally like kind of, you know, at a tough spot, like gratitude, right? Like I think, you know, when I'm grateful, I feel like, wow, man, to your point earlier, I don't deserve any of this, right? Like I think service gives you that opportunity to be grateful, you know, for your kids, you know, when you're given, you know, you're working at a soup kitchen or you're, you know, a clothing drive or, you know, you're given, you know, involved in church organizations, you're like, holy mackerel, man, I'm embarrassed that I take this stuff for granted. You know what I mean? That I, you know, I'm hungry if I eat an early dinner and there's people that are hungry because mm-hmm. they haven't eaten for 2 days, you know, and, mm-hmm. but just, I know for me, gratitude in the last 2 to 3 years, nothing has helped restart or re-energize me as much as gratitude. The last thing I want to talk to you about, and we're coming off of, and we're not going to get political, but we're coming, you know, out of the craziness of the election, and I feel like with the church, you know, the umbrella of Catholicism, you know, I wonder if I think I get the impression sometimes that more is dividing us than uniting us, you know, issues of democracy or capitalism or life, and we see a pretty divided church right now, depending on what your vantage point is. I mean, is this a pendulum swing or just an uneasy part of the time in the church? Or do you see personally a chasm or a break in the church coming here, in the next 5 to 10 years, would you say?
Well, you know, this election, I mean, this was just sad, you know, just sad in the fact, not winner, loser, I that's not where I'm coming from. I'm coming from just the un-Christian-like behavior, the nastiness, and I've never seen such divide where one side is absolutely not even listening to the other side. And you know, I grew up in, and it's my belief that, you know, once somebody's in office, they're your president.
Yeah.
Okay. You might not agree with it, but you have to be respectful. You might not agree with what they have to say, or you might not agree, but that's how it works. And that, you know, we're not going to get into the whole election, you know, and all of that, you know, was it rigged? Was it not rigged? You know, all of that. But regarding the church, I think just the polarity of not being able to listen to another human being's, you know, view and to say, I hear you, but I agree to disagree, you
sure.
know, versus the hate and the, you know, violence and the, you know, I keep saying, you know, after, you know, when I was talking to another colleague of mine, after they went into the White House and by force, and he suggests, you know, we don't have to worry about, you know, China or Korea, you know, sending a nuclear bomb on us. We're gonna kill ourselves.
Amen. And, the rot from within,
you know, that,
right?
That, you know, the divided church, too. And, you know, we are all sinners. And
amen.
We all come from different places and all have different backgrounds and all have different needs. But
amen.
We all have basic human skills or human needs. And our humanity is what brings us together. And, you know, I have faith and I pray every day that God can make this better.
I'm with
God
you, bud.
Can make this
we got to roll here. Love you, Jess. Tell the family we said hello.
All
it's
right.
Been a great hour. Folks, until next week, God bless. Have a great one.